Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you. We magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you brought your Bibles, please turn with me to Romans chapter 4. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 15 through 18. Here we go on the screen. I've entitled this evening's message, The Law Brings About Wrath. The Law Brings About Wrath. And so let's begin this message tonight. And let's go to Romans chapter 4. And let's do expository teaching, line by line, precept upon precept. And here we go. And it reads, because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is father of us all. Praise God. Look at this in verse 17 and 18. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. Who did he believe? God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your what? Descendants be. Praise God. Praise God. So, let's go to verse 15, and it reads, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is what? No transgression. You see, this is a unique outline here in the book of Genesis, where Abram, praise God, became the father of our faith, as we've been learning, as we've been reading. And Paul wrote to the Roman church regarding this issue, because our Jewish friends, even till today, still operate under the law. But praise God, it is grace. Through faith we are saved. Hallelujah. It's a gift of God. And so now we who have been grafted in by faith are now walking in the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus was part of the lineage that came down. And so aren't you so blessed to know, saints of God, that we have now all the benefits, we have all the blessings, we are joint heirs with Christ. Praise God, praise God. And so, my friends, we all know that God is a good God. How many believe God's a good God? And He's worthy to be praised? He's worthy to be praised. Let's read that verse once again. In verse 15, because the law brings about wrath, for where there is no law, there is what? No transgression. Wow. Wow, saints. Well, we all know, saints of God, that we serve a mighty God. Hallelujah. And look what I found here. I found this verse of scripture that correlates with what we're reading here in Romans chapter 4. Sometimes I like to go into the Living Bible because it kind of clarifies the little things. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 3. And let's look at this and watch how this develops right here. Look at this. In Galatians 3, 10 through 14, and it reads, yes, and those who depend on the Jewish laws to save them are under God's curse. For the scriptures point out very clearly, cursed is anyone. Look at this. Cursed is everyone who at any time breaks a single one of these laws that are written in God's book. of the law. Look at this in verse 11. Consequently, it is clear that no one can ever win God's favor by trying to keep the Jewish law, because God has said that the only way we can be right is in His sight. Look at this, is by faith. Did you catch that, saints? By faith. It's the only way. By faith. Praise God. Praise God. And as the prophet Habakkuk says, and he says it best, the man who finds life will find it through what? Trusting God. Trusting God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, in verse 12, we're going to go back to verse 12 right here. Look at this. How different from this way of faith is the way of law, which says that a man is saved by obeying every law of God without one slip. Look at verse 13. But Christ has brought us out from under the doom of that impossible system by taking the curse for our wrongdoing upon Himself. For it is written in the Scripture, anyone who is hanged on a tree is cursed, as Jesus was hung on a tree. Wow. Wow, my friends. Whoo, He was hung for you and I. For you and I, saints of God. Look at this in verse 14. Now God can bless the Gentiles too with the same blessing He promised to Abraham. And all of us Christians can have the promised Holy Spirit through what? Through faith. Praise God. You see, saints, if people must obey God's law and be good enough in order to be saved, then faith is what? It's useless. And so, saints, that in turn would make God's promise all meaningless. If the law does not bring righteousness, then why does it even exist? You ever ask yourself that, saints? You see, the law brings punishment. In other words, saints of God, in a world where people can make a real choices, the law's presence automatically includes the possibility of failure and the consequences that it would follow. Oh, that's right. Look what I found right up here in the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 through 11. Look at what it reads here. You are all the sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Praise God. Therefore, let us know what? Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Look at this. Verse 9 and 10 and 11. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Say that with me. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who what? Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And therefore, comfort one another and edify one another, just as you also are what? Doing. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the law's function, it was to help people realize their great sinfulness and to impose penalties on those who transgress it. And so, my friends, the only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Wow. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, if no one defines right and wrong, then no one knows the difference, and then no one can sin. Praise God. Listen, let me just say this. Before I came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I didn't know about God's law. I was sinning like no tomorrow. But yet when God, hallelujah, drew me by faith, He drew me. He gave me ears to hear and eyes to see. He gave me a mind to be saved and a heart to repent. He's the one that chose me. He's the one that chose you. And when He chose us, we were drawn to Him. And then we saw the cross. We saw His death, His burial, His resurrection. And we embraced the cross. And we came to Him by faith and we cried out, mercy, mercy, mercy. Until God does that, we're going to be walking in our sin. But it was the mercy of God. It was the grace of God that saved you and I from a pit of hell. Oh, that's right. We were on our way to hell in a handbasket. But God in His mercy saved you and I. And now we're heaven bound and a hell to shun. Wow. Praise God. So, let's move on to Romans chapter 4, verse 16. And it reads, therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of Abraham, who is what? Father of all. Did you catch that, saints of God? Father of all. He's our Father, our Father of faith. Praise God, praise God. And so, saints, what God gives by grace can only be, saints of God, accepted by faith. The promise given to Abraham that he and his countless offspring, which is you and I, would inherit, hallelujah, inherit the world, refers to his spiritual offspring, those who follow his example of faith. Praise God. Praise God. Look what else I found. I found this wonderful story in the book of Luke. And Luke goes on to write about Zacchaeus. And we're going to see God's grace and mercy that even sinners like you and I were, God still had mercy and grace. Let's go to this story. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this. In Luke 19, 1 through 10, and it reads, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. He was a short guy. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was, what, going to pass that way. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just pause there for a moment. Saints, during this time, crowds and crowds and crowds, they would come from all the towns and villages when they heard that Jesus was coming to town. You got to remember, they would walk from town to town. They didn't have social media. They didn't have Facebook, YouTube. It was all word of mouth. And they went around telling that the healer's in town, the one that raises the dead, the one that allows the deaf to hear, the ones that allow the mute to speak, the ones that are blind that can see again, the ones that were lame and were crippled, they can walk again. They all ran and they cluttered around him. And my goodness, Jesus and his grace and his mercy touched many of them. Even raised them from the dead. Praise God. So let's move on with this. Look at this. So Zacchaeus, in verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Look at this, in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. Look at God. Look at God. They never met. But God, hallelujah, manifested in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. He is 100% man and 100% God. And God in his grace and his foreknowledge already knew who Zacchaeus was. Wow. And he said, I'm going to stay at your house. Just imagine Jesus comes to your house. Are you going to let him in and stay? Praise God. Well, guess what? He is with us. He's living inside of us. He's staying inside of us by God's grace, by faith. When we were born again, when we repented of our sins, when we fell on our face and asked God to forgive us of our transgressions and our sins, then guess what happened? Once we repented, the blood, hallelujah, came and washed us. And then the Holy Spirit came in to live in us. Praise God. And that's why we have a testimony. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we witness. That's why we tell people about Jesus, because he's the soon coming King. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on with this story right here. Look at this. Verse 6. So he made haste, came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is what? A sinner. Wow. Let me just pause there. You see, a tax collector during this time frame, during this era, during this dispensation, they hated them. Just like you may not like the IRS. Oh, that's right. They thought that tax collectors and sinners all were all together. And they hated Zacchaeus. And they saw Jesus fellowshipping with him. You know what that lets me know? I don't care how low we get. I don't care if a person who is from the guttermost, God will deliver him and raise him up to the uttermost. Can I get an amen in the house? Oh, that's right. Look where he found you. Look where he found me. He went past our junk in the trunk and he saved us. And he lifted us up. He gave us a mind to be saved, a heart to repent. He gave us his spirit of promise. And now God has transformed you and I. We are no longer the same. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Praise God. Somebody needs to give God a shout of praise at home. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's move on. Verse 8. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And look what Jesus said to him. He said, today, salvation has come to this house. Look at this. Because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, Zacchaeus was what was lost. And Abraham had pleased God through faith alone, no differently. And before he had even heard about the customs that would become so important to the Jewish people. And we too, saints of God, are saved by faith plus nothing. We can't add nothing to this. It is by faith through God's grace we are saved. And that makes Abraham, saints of God, the father of all who believe. Not just of the Jewish nation. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's move on. We're going to move on to verse 17 of Romans chapter 4. And it reads, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they what? As though they did. Praise God. Praise God. As though they did, saints. You see, saints, the promise or the covenant that God gave Abraham said that Abraham would be the father of many nations. Oh, yes. It was a promise. And look, I found this in Genesis to prove the point. Look at this. In Genesis 17, 1 through 5, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will, look at this, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying this. Look at this. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a what? Father of many nations. Wow. You see, saints, the entire world would be blessed. Blessed through Abraham. Praise God. How many of you can honestly say we've been blessed? Because it was a promise from God. And if you go to Genesis 12:3, look at 12:1-3, look at this. I want to show you this right here. In Genesis 12:1-3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families. Say that with me. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Saints, let me just say this. Right now, in the Middle East, Israel, our beloved, is in a serious war with Hamas. And then they're battling Hezbollah from the north. And then Iran is about ready to pounce on them. And our own administration is backpedaling to help them. Saints, we need to pray. And I feel right now, as you hear my voice, let's pray right now for the nation of Israel. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up our beloved Israel. I pray, God, that you would watch over her. Lord, protect her, oh God. Lord, you already said that you have an everlasting covenant with the nation of Israel, and that no one should touch your land. And so, Father, I pray blessings, oh God. Watch over them, Lord, and bind the enemy. It's a spirit that's against them. Why? Because Jesus is coming back to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and the devil is doing everything to try to thwart the plan of God. But I have news. God will not allow that, and God's perfect will be done. So bless them, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You see, saints, this promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who was from Abraham's line. Not only was Abraham the physical father of God's chosen nation, the Jews, he was also the father of God's people today, us, the church. That's right. We're grafted in by faith. And now all the blessings of Abraham have been given to the church, has been given to you and I. Praise God. Praise God. How many so blessed to know that we are now joint heirs with Christ? Everything that God has given us. And we are with blessings. I don't care what's going on right now. The inflation. We may even go into a depression. But I'm here to let you know, with God, all things are possible. God still will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Do not be dismayed. Who cares of what's happening right now? Just pray. Pray for our families, our loved ones. God will watch over us. Amen. Praise God. Because we serve a mighty God. Well, see, in Romans, Paul points out that the promise to Abraham to be the father of many nations extends beyond Israel to all the nations of the world. Paul switches quickly into a description, saints, of God. Abraham and Paul believe in the same God. Praise God. So what is the character of God in whom they believe? Paul answers this rhetorical question. Why? Because believers need to have a clear understanding of the God being trusted. Praise God. Our God. We need to have clear understanding of who He is. You see, my friends, Paul's words here may seem awkward to us, but they were very familiar to the Jews back then and today. God is creator, the giver, and sustainer of life. He brings the dead back to life and brings it into existence, what didn't exist before. Woo, we serve a mighty God, a mighty, mighty God. Look at this. Moses wrote this in Deuteronomy. Look at this. Look at this right here. In Deuteronomy 32:39. Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God besides me. I kill and make alive. Look at this. I wound and I heal, nor is there anyone who can deliver from my hand. Praise God. And look what Samuel the prophet wrote in 1 Samuel 2, 6-8. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princesses and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has what? He has set the world upon them. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, God has demonstrated his power. And we know he can do the what? The impossibility. Look, he saved you and I. How many people counted you out? Oh, I know. I have a whole lot of family members. Back in the day, I got saved at the age of 30. But prior to that, I was a rebel without a cause. Oh, that's right. I like what my brother used to say it like this. I was toe up from the flow up. But God saved a wretch like me. He saved a wretch like you. And so we got one more verse to break down in Romans chapter 4, verse 18. And so we're going to go there right now. And it reads, who contrary to hope, and hope believe, so that he became the father of what? Many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your what? Descendants be. Wow. Wow. Look what I found this in Genesis 15, 5 through 6. Look at this. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to Abram, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for what? Righteousness. Righteousness. Look what else I found in Hebrews. In Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Praise God, praise God. You see, during this time when Jesus was on the scene and prior to that, only the high priest can go behind the veil and pray for the sins of people. But when Jesus died and he died on the cross, the veil was ripped, torn in half. And now you and I have access to the mercy seat. Praise God. We have access to God now. Whoo, aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Well, Abraham believed God's promise that he would become the father of many nations. Praise God. He believed it against all hope. And that is beyond any possible natural hope, because he was too old to be a father at that age of 100. Hallelujah. And his wife was well past childbearing age and had never been able to have children. Yet, saints of God, Abraham realized that God's ability to fulfill his promises, thank you, Jesus, outweighed the circumstances. I'm here to let you know, if God made you a promise, he will fulfill it. Some of you have been praying for family members, friends, co-workers, extended family, acquaintances. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ever think and ask and hope for. Praise God. And so, my friends, Abraham's faith did not weaken even when they, a childless couple, praise God, had been promised descendants as numerous as the stars. It was impossible, but Abraham believed in God. Praise God, praise God. Let me just say this. Do you believe God? Do you believe his promises? You may be watching for the first time, second time. Maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe God? All you have to do is have faith. the size of a mustard seed. And you know what? He'll move a mountain. Oh, that's right. But you got to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what I found here so that you can understand this clearly. In Hebrews 11, 6 through 13, look at this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that He is. And that He is a what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things, not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Look at this. In verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Look at this. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same what? Of the same promise. For he waited for the city which was foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had what? Promised. Look at this. In verse 12 and 13. Therefore, one man and him as good as dead were born, as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude. Look at this. Innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Praise God. Praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that Jesus is soon to return. And how many of you right now have not given their hearts to Christ? I'm here to let you know that Jesus is about to return. And he's going to come and take his church home. And did you know that you and I, we are the bride of Christ. And he's coming. He's coming for his bride. Oh, that's right. And the Bible's clear on how he's going to come for his church. Look at this right here. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest you sorrows others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who what? Sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself, look at this, will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. No! Comfort one another with these words. My friends, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. He's coming again. And he's going to come to take us home. Now, my friends, listen. The way he's going to come is going to come so announced that you and I are going to be raptured up and be in his bosom. Praise God. I want you to see what could happen to you if you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at this for a moment.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. Those people that fell on their knees, they were playing church. And the ones that were gone was the true bride of Christ. Listen, the Bible's clear. All you need to do is repent. Repent and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what the scripture says in the book of Acts. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." For the promise, look at this, is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. I want to give you that opportunity, saints, right now, if you haven't given your heart. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. So pray with me. Bow your heart and your head and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Someone just got saved. Oh, that's right. Someone just did.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.